This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and myself, Tess, and we are in the middle of the Paran Candidates Forum. Macca.
Now, the next question I'm going to ask is to Sam Hibbins. Sam, the Religious Freedoms Review has generated a lot of discussion in the media about the right of faith-based schools to discriminate against children on the basis of their sexuality or gender. The federal Liberal government has committed to removing this provision, and this has been endorsed by both Labor and the Greens. Do you support removing the right to discriminate against teachers in schools? And what action will you take in Parliament if you are elected, Sam?
Well, short answer, yes, absolutely. And the action I will take is to introduce legislation to protect teachers in faith-based schools. It is outrageous that these exemptions exist, and the community is very much the same position. The bill that's previously been introduced in the last Parliament, in Dan Andrews' own words, would protect the gardener but wouldn't protect the teacher. So the kind of inherent requirements test doesn't go far enough. The exemptions need to be got rid of completely because, the teachers that I've spoken to, you've already got teachers teaching at faith-based schools that don't feel comfortable, living openly or sharing their sexuality. You've got teachers who refuse to apply for jobs at faith-based schools because there could be discrimination around the corner. These provisions are insidious. It might not come up all the time in direct discrimination, but what it is a massive power imbalance that needs to be got rid of. That said, the vast majority of faith-based schools are great, and I think they do a really good job, but this power imbalance, we need to get rid of it.
Okay, thank you, Sam. Neil, would you like me to ask the question again, or do you...
I'm very familiar with this space. Look, I think the core of this question around religious exemptions goes to making sure a government bill passes both houses of parliament, which we've tried to do. I think the Liberal Party's history in this space has been abysmal. It has abolished reforms which made incremental, and you could argue needed to go further, but any incremental reforms that were reached under Braxton Brumby were wound back under Bailey and Napthine, and those same reforms have attempted to be introduced in this term of parliament. You know, we are very fortunate that we have two LGBTI members of our caucus. I'd like to join them to champion these issues, but this is something I have fought for 10 or 12 years. Through my time as convener of Rainbow Labor, we secured the first breach of religious exemptions in the provision of aged care services. That's something that I campaigned on and achieved within the party, and I think this is something that we need to keep fighting for and we need to win on, and we need someone who can effectively deliver platform and policy change within the party to do so. I'm pleased that our Premier believes that equality is not negotiable, and it's great to be part of that team going into Parliament.
Katie.
I think these laws are archaic and they just basically need to be lifted. I welcome the fact that Scott Morrison is going to lift exemption for students. We have a lot of openly gay members of the federal parliament on the Liberal side. I think Victorian Liberal Pride President Ben Greenwood tells me that we have the highest count if we're going to get competitive there, Neil. And I think we really do need to argue for lifting exemptions for teachers as well.
I think Sam wanted to
say something. Sam?
I just wanted to make a point. I mean, look, I know Dan Andrews' slogan has been equality is not negotiable, but the one odd person out in this whole getting rid of discrimination for students is Dan Andrews. He voted against our bill and has not come out and said that he would get rid of these discriminatory exemptions for students. So there will be, and teachers. So there will be, again, as I said, a vote in the next Parliament if the Greens are in there. What we haven't got is a commitment from the Premier to say that he'll get rid of these exemptions.
Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, but currently there's the Morrison government is talking about a federal bill, which I presume would overpower all the states' legislation.
I, I'm of the understanding that we'd still need to change the law at a state level. That's right. My understanding.
As we did, if I might say, with regards to the marriage bill, there was legislation required in Victoria, even though the federal government made it clear with regards to birth certificates, etc. But the federal government doesn't issue birth certificates.
Yes.
So the change had to be made there, but generally, with very, very few exceptions, federal law has primacy.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, the Liberal Party and the Morrison government federally has said they're going to do something, and they said that conveniently before the Wentworth by-election, and then in today's paper, there's all these ums and ahs and ifs and buts, and, you know, we can't do this and we won't do that, and, you know, it's not going to happen, and all these questions raised. So it's interesting that very energetic in the lead-up to the Wentworth by-election, another LGBTI-friendly seat, and yet in Victoria and federally, the Liberal government has now wound itself back from that very same position.
Neil, we have actually already discussed this issue this morning on this very program. My understanding is that what the Morrison government was proposing was a removal of overt discrimination, but indirect discrimination, in other words, discrimination that could actually be applied by the schools themselves, would still be permissible. Is that correct?
Look, that's my understanding, but I may be wrong, and I'm not 100% sure in that space. But it's just interesting that, you know, this was automatically going to happen before Wentworth, and now all of a sudden it's on the back burner again as the Liberal Party continues to pander to their far-right extremists.
Katie, you have to defend yourself.
Well, you know, I'm going to sound like John Howard now. You know, Liberal Party is a broad church, and if you want to, you know, the issue is that the left will have the sort of moral high ground about LGBTI issues. There are many LGBTI issues that have been led and legislated for strongly by both federal and the state Liberal Party. We need more members from the moderate progressive getting into Parliament. That's me. I'm putting my hand up to represent what I think is a community that I represent because I've lived there and have the values that are typical of a Paranite.
Now, I'm going to oppose an unwritten question.
Right.
To each of you, and Neil can answer first. My question is, if you believe that students, staff and teachers should not be discriminated against in schools, do you believe that government funding should go to independent schools that practice that and that want to continue to practice that, that want to use our tax dollars, my tax dollars, our community's tax dollars, to discriminate against students, teachers and staff because of their sexual orientation? Neil.
My personal view on this is that anyone who's receiving taxpayer funds should not have any shield of religious exemptions in their services. So if you're receiving taxpayer funds, and interestingly enough, it's called a shield of religious exemption and not a sword of religious exemptions. But if you're providing services for the community in a whole heap of areas, then you shouldn't be relying upon that shield. And, you know, locally in Victoria, we've already seen an example of where a number of community Jewish care and a number of other LGBTI organisations have said, you know, we've got that right, but we're no longer choosing to do it. If you're providing taxpayer services, I personally don't think that you should be relying on any shield, or if the Liberal Party had their way, it's the sword of religious discrimination.
Sam?
Well, look, you go to a really good point in that this isn't just about schools. This is about a whole wide range of services, often for very vulnerable people. I mean, we look at the homelessness space where LGBTI people are highly overrepresented in homelessness. And then you've got that barrier about, you know, they might have been discriminated against at home, possibly because of religious reasons, and then they've got to go to a faith-based homelessness service, and then there's the barrier there of, you know, well, there could be discrimination behind this door, you know, I'm not going to access this homelessness services. So these laws are pervasive, and they shouldn't be there, and they certainly shouldn't be getting these organisations shouldn't be getting funding if they're going to discriminate.
Katie.
Look, I fundamentally believe that the strength of our Western civilization is based on, at the time of Reformation, division of the state from religion. And the state has supremacy when it comes to laws in our country. We are Western liberal social democracy. And so I do fundamentally believe that if you are taking the coin from government, you need to then abide by the laws of government. And so I agree that exemptions shouldn't apply in situations where you are taking funds state-based trust funds. But I would also like to put a plug in for so many social services are provided by faith-based institutions. I think some of them do feel that they are under threat in many ways, and they do provide incredible services across the community in all sorts of ways. And I think that many of them would be very upset to think people would think of them as being, you know, not being... generous in their faith-based approach. And I think those services are important, and I think they're very delivered in a very lovely way as well. So we just need to be aware that as these institutions, are moving into a progressive 21st century, some of them are slower to move than others. And it's coming back to that issue of advocacy again. Sometimes people take a bit longer to catch up, and you might say, that's not good enough. But for me, I'd like to find common ground to move everyone forward in a progressive way that brings the community together to make sure that we don't have a darkness in a corner. We need to shine the light, the moral light, into the darkness to make sure that parts of the community, the LGBTI community, are fully supported across the full spectrum. I mean, there are lots of people across the full spectrum in all sorts of walks of life, and we need
to support
all
of them. It sounds like we're all on the same page on this issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tass's taxes, my taxes, Paul's taxes, Bill's taxes, Neil's taxes, Sam's taxes, Katie's taxes. None of us want our taxes to be used to discriminate against our community.
That's a good way of putting it.
Correct.
Okay. Now, Tass, we have actually just under 10 minutes left.
Yes.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give each candidate...
Yes.
2 minutes. Well, actually, we'll give them 2.5 minutes.
No, 2 minutes.
2 minutes? Oh. 2 minutes to basically tell us, why do you wish to represent the seat of Prahran? What do you see as the one or two hot top issues? Try and incorporate that in your 2 minutes to convince listeners to vote for them. And hang on, I'll get my clock going.
And Katie, we'll start with you.
Well, I'm putting my hand up to represent the people of Prahran in State Parliament because I've lived my life serving my community in the area of health and education. I've been a doctor for nearly 30 years and served the full spectrum of the community, and I've made a significant contribution with regards to advocating for the health and education of others. I've got a strong moral compass, and I believe that the people of Prahran are currently the neglected electorate. With all respect, we are not getting the state services that we require from the Labor government. Our schools are overflowing, and we are not. We haven't had redevelopment and responses to things like South Yarra Primary having more kids than it can cope with. We're not getting the public transport services that were required. We don't have enough bus, trains, and tram services, and we also are having problems with overdevelopment. We're hearing that we're going to have 1,000 new residences each year for the next 20 years. What's the response with regards to overcrowding and population explosion in Prahran? Now, Matthew Guy has a decentralisation plan, and someone who grew up in Albury, where he tried decentralisation 1.0 under the Hamer government, but it didn't work because places like Albury were too far away. I believe the tipping point of the European-style fast train services to the regional hubs will actually provide for decentralisation. We can't control who comes into the state. Our role as a government would be to provide services, state services, that enable the community to grow across the whole of Victoria so that we have a prosperous future.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Katie.
Sam, now it's your opportunity for your final two-minute pitch.
Yeah, thank you. I love living in the Prahran electorate. It's been my home for a decade now. And, you know, when we're speaking to people, you know, on the doors or on the phone, that's what they're telling us too. They absolutely love living in Prahran. And you know what? We've got to keep it that way. And yes, we're experiencing rapid population growth and overdevelopment, and we've got to make sure that we're investing in the schools, the services, the public transport, have a proper, strong planning scheme to prevent overdevelopment. These are the kinds of things that we're going to need to do to make sure that we keep Prahran livable now into the future. You know, I've got a really strong record of advocating for my community, getting results, but there's a lot more to do, and that's why I'm putting up my hand for re-election, to stand up for our community, to stand up for our community's shared values of diversity and equality, and take that to State Parliament. You know, there's been a lot of agreement around the table on the issues that have been raised today. You've only got one candidate who can absolutely ironclad guarantee you that I will vote to get rid of these exemptions. I will vote every time to progress LGBTI equality, and that's what I'm going to bring to the table if I'm re-elected.
Thanks,
Thank you, Sam. And Neil.
Look, I think this election will be very much an election on whether Victoria is fair and whether Victorians are getting things delivered and done. I represent a team which has a Premier who has always been pro-LGBTI and has always and genuinely said equality is not negotiable. We've made great strides in the past 4 years locally in Victoria, funding a large number of LGBTI organisations, funding the Pride Centre, Midsummer, you know, all of these are big steps. The historical apology for homosexual convictions, adoption equality reform, you know, equality is genuinely not negotiable. And I want to be part of that team that continues that agenda and continues to deliver for all Victorians and continues to make things fair and get things done. I think my biggest pitch over all of that, though, to the voters of PRAN is we really need someone who can deliver for PRAN and deliver for all communities, the LGBTI community, our multicultural community. We are a young, exciting, diverse electorate that I love calling home. And, you know, it's really important to have someone who represents our community and can advocate for that. I think I have the genuine experience in my time as co-convener of Rainbow Labor in actually achieving reforms. It's one thing to stand on the sideline and throw grenades. It's one thing to launch private members' bills that you know will never get support. All private members' bills in the history of governments in Australia have always been bipartisan, and they shouldn't be used as an explosion. They should be used to endeavour and move and make achievements. And, you know, the LGBTI community and broader Victorians have seen a focus on fairness for the vast majority of the past 4 years, and that was severely lacking under the Baillieu and Napthine government. But even beyond the LGBTI community, you know, locally in PRAN we have a new high school, $43 million, twice promised by the Liberal Party, not once delivered. You know, record investments around trams and trains. St Kilda Road now has the highest number of trams it has ever had going down it. South Yarra Station will have trains under every 2 minutes after the Melbourne Metro Tunnel is built. You know, it's really delivering for PRAN and getting things done and making things fair for all Victorians, including the LGBTI community.
Thank you, Neil.
There you go. Tess.
Macca.
For 25 years, Joy has been on air, and Joy is a community-based radio station. We have once received money from the state government, and that was from which fund, Tess? It ended up, and that was for our move.
I don't know which one it was from, Macca, but it was announced by Bronwyn Pike when she was minister.
I think it was from the gambling fund.
Oh, I've got no idea.
Anyway, the only.
But it was actually matched dollar for dollar.
Yes,
$250,000 grant matched dollar for dollar.
So it's important, you know, to our community that we have the support of government. The best way to have the support of government and parliamentarians is to support the agenda that our whole community supports. And even though our community doesn't vote along political lines, it's a reflection of the rest of the Australian community, Victorian community, there's one thing that we won't accept, and that is discrimination, and that is us not getting a fair go. So I've been impressed with what everyone has said this morning, but I don't have a vote in PRAN.
Neither do I, actually.
But it's for the voters of the PRAN to make that decision. We will have the podcast of this up shortly, and we've also, thanks to Bill Calder, been videoing this, and we'll work out after the show what we're going to do with that. Did you want to make a closing comment, Tess?
I'm just very impressed with all three presentations this morning, and I want to thank you all for your time and thank you for your contribution. I still don't know the answer to the safe schools question. I have to say, Katie, I'm very sorry about that. I've been struggling with that one for quite some time. I still don't understand what the Liberal Party is planning on doing that is different from what is currently occurring.
I think it's just broadening. So it's more investment in broadening. So it's good that you don't think it's a problem. That sounds great.
I don't know what that means.
When do we see the actual policy?
Well, I think there are all the talking points are out, but you should invite Tim Smith on.
We have on numerous occasions.
But he was busy selling Lamingtons for Georgina Downer.
Neil, you look like you're busting to say something.
You know, I'd just like a yes-no answer from the Liberal Party. Are they going to fund the Pride Centre? Are they going to keep all the programmatic material in safe schools that we have
Labor's
today?
Labor's committed to funding the Pride Centre fully, has it?
We've given them $15 million, which includes not a new fully home funded for it, Joy. Yeah. You know, are they going to keep safe schools programmatic material? So that's a yes-no question. You know, are they going to keep the $15 million that government's contributed? You know, are we going to have a Commissioner for Equality if the Liberal Party's win? These are simple yes-no questions.
Sam, you might as well have your final say as well.
Well, I just think seeing some of the arguing going on, I think now more than ever it's very clear why you need Greens in Parliament. Holding the other parties to account, fighting for change and getting results.
Okay.
Getting results.
Thank you very much for your time. Yes. May the best person win. Is that what you say, Macca?
Yes, rather than break a leg.
Yes. I want, in the next Parliament, I want to see a real advance on equality. There's still a lot to do. Mm. I'm passionate about safe schools. Broadening it sounds really good, but I want some detail. Mm. I'm a meat eater. I want to see the meat on the bone.
Yeah, good point.
Our community, we've come a long way. There is a lot of work still to do.
And the truth is, Macca, we have seen a huge amount of investment in the LGBTI yes. community in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Mm. We don't want to lose that.
Of which Joy hasn't had much, if any.
It's had a share.
We need a commitment from all three about the Pride Centre and also about Joy's ability to move to the Pride Centre.
Yes, we do.
Mm.
Is that a yes from everyone? Go on.
Well, you've got to get into Parliament, don't you, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say, it's one of the biggest thrills I've had is going around the community and meeting all the people who are out there. It's just such a privilege, actually. I think all three of us have enjoyed the doors and the calls and meeting people and coming on stations like this. It's great.
Great.
Absolutely. Great.
Thank you all. Don't forget your little gifts. Not everyone gets these, you know.
Oh. I love the straw. We're all warm. All three of us are warm
for
waste,
those
aren't we, guys?
Who don't know, we get a lovely espresso cup and reusable straw, which is very conscientious.
It's even
and don't forget your fridge magnet.
And your fridge
magnets.
It's a calendar. Help you plan next year.
For 2019, which is the year of whoever's in government delivering finally everything
on Joy.
For our community on Joy.
Well, you should invite back who's ever's on.
We will. Macca.
Tass.
What do you reckon?
If I was an elector in Paran, I know who I'd vote for, but I'm not going to say because it's a secret ballot.
Well, I've got to say I was pretty impressed with all three candidates.
All three candidates.
I think that all three candidates articulated very clearly
their commitment. There's a lot of quality there.
No, there is. I agree with you.
Quality and equality. Problem is, when you get into the Parliament, whether you're Labor, Liberal or Greens, in some instances, you're told how to vote or your party's voting a particular way. You can't get the support of others. You know what? I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in 2019 being the year where the loopholes in legislation that exclude us and discriminate against us being closed, right? And I am sick and tired of my money, my tax dollars, being used to discriminate against not just me but other members of my community. It's got to stop, and I'm sick of it.
There you go. So, Macca, as we start to wind up, I just want to announce that our podcast will be on our website.
Yes.
But Dale Park from the Rights Lobby has also sent in a message saying that they've enjoyed the debate and they're also going to place the podcast on their website
Fantastic.
As well.
Fantastic.
So there's a multiple range of places where you can find
us. And we'll put on our Twitter what we're going to do with the video. Perhaps we could sell it, Tass. Anyway.
Now, again, Macca, I have to say, I think that the quality of the debate was very good and the level of commitment and passion to supporting our communities came across from all of them and, in a genuine way, I believe.
And to coming in here and doing it all together in the studio. That's quite unusual.
Yeah, we haven't done that before, have we?
You and Fiona made that happen. Good on you. Probably if I'd asked, they would have stayed away. Katie Allen, the Liberal candidate for Paran, Sam Hibbins, the Green candidate for Paran, but also the current member for Paran, and Neil Farrow, the Labor candidate for Paran.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.